This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest. On the bigger picture, I'm T. Shao Ik with Kelly Anisa and Sumitra Selvaraj in the studio today. And two stories for you as always. In our first story, a breast surgeon was called out at a conference for doing crocheting while listening to the lecture. And in response, she then tweeted, "I haven't taken my eyes off you. Why don't you pick on the guy next to me playing on his phone?" So could manual tasks like knitting or crocheting help us focus better?
And in our second story, there has been a call by some fans to boycott the upcoming Mulan film after actor Crystal Liu Yifei, who plays Mulan in the film, made a post supporting the Hong Kong police in the ongoing protest. We discuss whether an actor's politics should also affect how we feel about their work.
So tell us on the Twitter poll that we're running at the moment, does an actor's socio-political stance affect how you perceive and support their work? Your options are either yes or no. To join the conversation, just tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 01-8789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
That'll be coming up after Occupy Your Mind by Villages.
The bigger picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, that was Occupy Your Mind by Villages. And what occupies your mind or what helps you to focus when you're working? So at a recent surgical conference in Australia, one of the invited speakers, in the middle of the presentation, stopped and said, "The knitting lady isn't paying attention." So this knitting lady in question was actually Dr. Rhea Liang, an associate professor of surgery specializing in breast cancer at Gold Coast Hospital and Health Service, and she was one of the audience members listening to the presentation. Now, later in response to being called out, Dr. Liang then tweeted, "It's crochet, not knitting, number one. And number two, I haven't taken my eyes off you. So why don't you pick on the guy next to me playing on his phone?" And she added, hashtag implicit bias, hashtag I look like a surgeon.
Much to discuss here. So much to discuss. Where do we start? Let's start at how horrible it is to call a peer, a fellow attendee at a surgical conference, that knitting lady.
Yes, and this is a meeting for professionals. Obviously, they would all be, like you said, peers of the same professional qualifications there.
Yes. Yeah. So, not surprisingly, the tweet set off hundreds of retweets and responses, mostly from healthcare professionals. Dozens of nurses, physicians, occupational therapists, medical students, midwives, and others tweeted to say that they can't pay good attention unless they knit, crochet, knot, tie, macrame. So needlepoint or doodle. Repeatedly, people said that their mind wanders without manual activity.
So on the same Twitter discussion, Dr. Kerry Wilkins, a psychiatrist in Massachusetts, USA, jumped into the discussion to provide some neurological explanations about why this might be. And so I'm sort of summarizing and paraphrasing her tweets a little bit here. But she said there are two reasons people need to fidget. Number one is if they're in a state of hypoarousal or if they're in a state of hyperarousal. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a state of hypoarousal, which is lower stimulation, movement can wake up the mind and make it easier for you to focus. Mm-hmm. But in the case of hyperarousal, if there's too much stimulation around you, repetitive movement can calm or soothe the mind and increase focus. So the best activities take advantage of motor memory, which don't require much cognitive direction, allow you to funnel those resources to take in new information instead. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing an activity that's, you know, if you're trying to multitask with an activity that's too interesting or needs too much thought, you will start task switching, and then that would become counterproductive.
I wonder whether that's the science behind a fidget spinner. That is often used children to focus.
Yes, that's right.
It almost seems counterproductive in your mind to think about why would you give them something to move around
when you keep the convention is sit still, don't move,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, but yeah. But now your explanation, you know, outlines it clearly.
Yeah, and so Dr. Wilkins also adds that channeling motor overflow into simple repetitive activities increases focus and enables better learning and retention. And she pointed out, unlike cell phone use, which actually inhibits attention, then she added, keep crocheting, science!
Well, what's happening in the brain when we try to pay attention to a particular task? So computational neuroscientist Mehdi Ordikani Sayadlar, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Karolinska Institute, explains in this clip from a TED Talk.
The front part of your brain is responsible for higher cognitive functions as a human. The frontal part, it seems that it works as a filter, trying to let information coming only from the right flicker that you're paying attention to, and trying to inhibit the information coming from the ignored one. The filtering ability of the brain is indeed a key for attention, which is missing in some people, for example, in people with ADHDs. So a person with ADHD cannot inhibit these distractors, and that's why they can't focus for a long time on a single task.
So Mehdi there mentioned something about a right flicker, right? So it's part of the longer clip from the TED Talk. He was actually referring to an experiment using flickering squares where people look at two squares on a screen. Each is flickering at a different speed. And so by studying what's happening in the brain when you ask them to pay attention to either one, or to look in the middle and not try to directly focus on a single one, you can look at how different parts of the brain respond to overt and covert attention.
Okay. Mm.
And so for a bit of insight into the science of how to help the brain focus and pay attention, we watched another TED Talk, this time by cognitive neuroscience researcher Dr. Marvin Chen from Yale University. So here are some excerpts from that talk, you know, where he provided three tips on how to improve your focus.
My first tip is simplify. I told you that there's too much information in the environment, then control how much information that you have to pay attention to. Tip number two is to relax. Some people act as if, you know, the more pumped up they are and the harder they try, that performance is always going to go up. But, of course, research indicates that that's not the case. The curve is actually an upside-down U-shaped function. So that optimal performance, yes, you need some arousal. You need to put some effort into any task. And then you hit your peak performance. But if you put too much effort in or you're over-aroused, then your performance is going to drop over on the far right. So how do you relax? Of course, that's a whole other TED Talk. One is to don't forget to breathe, as basic as that sounds. The second thing I'll share on the topic of relaxation is exercise is really great. There's actually a ton of research showing that taking a walk is very beneficial, not only for your mood, but also for your attention, for your cognitive skills. And importantly, it's important to take a walk in a park or a place where there are trees, where there's greenery. My final tip is unitasking, and this is probably the most important tip I want to share with you. It's okay to check your phone. Just do it after you finish working for 30 minutes or an hour as a reward. Don't check it every 5 minutes. Don't check your email every 5 minutes. Don't check your Facebook every 5 minutes.
So that was Yale's Dr. Marvin Chun. He's a cognitive neuroscience researcher. And he wasn't talking about the kind of multitasking that we are talking specifically about today. Because when he mentions unitasking as one of the key tips to improve focus, he's talking about splitting your attention on sort of equally cognitively demanding tasks, right?
Yes.
So that's why he keeps talking about checking your phone and your email. And the full TED Talk goes into a lot more than that. So it's interesting to think about actually the idea of multitasking could be more nuanced and more complex, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about different tasks that require a lot of thought and, you know, to split your attention, just like how Dr. Carrie Wilkins earlier tweeted about phones. She explained that phone use hits an addictive dopamine pathway, which pulls more attention or more cognitive resources, which is very different from repetitive motion tasks.
So it's not really surprising that most of the understanding about repetitive physical activities are connected to attention and cognition come from brain imaging studies of people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, and people with autism spectrum disorder. So if you look it up, you'll find a lot of information related to how fidgeting helps people on the autism spectrum. And you know what? It's a story from 2 decades ago has just popped into my mind. I had the great privilege of being in a theatre production that was directed by the legendary Krishan Jit. And I was cast in a short play with Anne James, and we were running through our lines. I was a complete newbie to the entire theatre scene, and we were running through our lines, and I was struggling with trying to remember my lines and getting into the kind of whole motion of the play, when something kind of caught my attention, and I turned around and I said to Krishan, "How long have you been clicking your pen for?" He had one of those old-fashioned ballpoint pens that you click. And I suddenly twigged in my head that he had been clicking it for the entire half an hour that we had been going through it. And I said, and then I paid no attention to it. And we came back to it later. And I said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "No reason at all." I said, "Are you expecting a Pavlovian response out of me or anything like that?" And he laughed and he said, "If you've paid attention to it, notice that, you know, your lines have gotten easier." And I was like, Okay.
I see.
But I would not have made the connection.
Right.
I just had no idea. And I don't know whether it was a thing of his to do, but I remember that ballpoint pen that he clicked all the way through rehearsals.
So, I mean, we hear, and I've noticed people needing to do something to help themselves.
Possibly, but I don't know whether he was doing it to train me.
I know.
It worked.
That's the first I've heard of it.
It worked.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, that could be one of many different types of manual repetitive motions that just helps your mind to, like, just, you know, focus.
Like a metronome,
somehow.
Almost.
Yeah. Expanding on that a little bit, you know, people even talk about things like how you should handwrite notes instead of typing them, which is supposed to help you retain the information, and doodling.
I'm a great believer of doodling.
In doodling, right? And there's been more study in doodling rather than all the other types of manual activities. So in one study, which is said to be the first of its kind, a psychologist, Dr. Jackie Andrade, I think, found that adults who doodled were able to recall almost 30% more information on a surprise memory test compared to the non-doodlers who were being subjected to the same test. And she wrote that, you know, unlike many dual task situations, doodling while working can be beneficial.
So as Dr. Liang discovered when she tweeted about her conference experience, this kind of multitasking is more common than you know. We spoke to two BFMers who fit this description. First up is Ali Johan, our station's music director.
Well, I doodle while I'm editing or listening to or producing some episodes for radio, because I find that it keeps me focused. Editing is a very tedious process sometimes. So if I were to just look at we use audio editor software, so sometimes looking at that might be a bit too much for my eyes. So I doodle while listening to the audio. And that has helped me to mark out things that are unneeded for the conversations. So yeah, that's helped me a lot in working somehow.
And Lynn Mark, whom you'll recognize as our Morning Run presenter.
So I knit and crochet while I'm working, as in while I'm on air, because I find that it helps me focus, particularly when I'm listening to things. So like if we have callers or we're listening to people explaining things to us on air, sometimes looking at like the screens, looking at my other presenters, I find that it's very distracting. So actually crocheting or knitting gives me something to do with my hands and helps me focus on what I'm hearing a lot better. And it's a habit I picked up up while I was in university listening to lectures, because I've always been a bit of a multitasker. So I would doodle, I would play with a Rubik's Cube, I would fiddle with whatever I had on hand. And I found that when I picked up knitting and crochet as a habit, it actually worked even better than all of those in terms of actually getting me to focus while I'm in lectures. So I can do it while I'm doing other things. I can do it while I'm walking or reading or listening. And overall, yeah, it just helps me to kind of calm my brain down enough to absorb like 100% of what I'm listening to.
Well, as it happens, Lynn isn't the only one in BFM who crochets.
Yes.
Young Kelly over here is quite handy with her knitting needles as well. So does it help you focus?
Also throwing that stereotype of the crocheting grandmother out of the water.
Absolutely.
Both Lynn Mark and Kelly are very young.
I can't tell you how many times I've been called a grandma.
All wrong, okay?
I'm very young. But
we're just establishing that right now.
I mean, I think because Lynn, I think, has been doing it for a much longer mm-hmm. time, whereas for me, I can't multitask in that way. But crochet does help me. It does help me focus because it requires a lot of detail. But I can't multitask while listening to someone going on air, for example, and I can't do it while I'm watching TV. But I do understand why it can help some people focus.
Mm. So it's just the precision that's yes. needed.
At some point, the muscle memory will kick in, right? Mm. Once you're familiar yeah. enough with the motions that are required.
Mm. Yes.
I can see how it might help.
That's true, because once I'm familiar with a pattern, mm-hmm. I can do anything. I can listen to music and I can do anything I want while I'm doing it, because it's, like you said, it's muscle memory.
Mm. Oh, there you go. Yeah. So one day there will be a trend of all BFM presenters doing some sort of...
I hope so.
It's going to be a lot of strange-looking scarves and pieces of cloth that will be lying around the office. But can we go back to the statement that kind of kicked this whole discussion off, where, you know, Dr. Liang was called the knitting
lady.
I really like the fact that she pointed out, why didn't you call out the gentleman who was playing on his phone or using his phone? So two things. Okay, yes, I can see that some people might say, oh, you called it out because, you know, it was a woman doing this. But number two, have we become so normalized to the idea of people being distracted by phones mm-hmm. that it no longer registers on our radar mm-hmm. anymore, mm-hmm. that it's a normal thing?
That's right. And that there is that presumption that, oh, perhaps he's answering emails and therefore he must be doing important mm. work, and it's okay then for him to not be paying attention. Mm. But there are lots of biases mm-hmm. in assumptions like that. Mm. And, you know, there's I think... And here I could be jumping ahead mm-hmm. because I don't know the full context, but just to be called the knitting lady.
I know,
yeah.
that
right?
It rankles me. I'm sorry. It mm-hmm. still does. I can't get past. Besides, personally, I think I would be delighted with a surgeon, male or female, who knits, because it would show dexterity.
Exactly.
Well, wait, I need to have a look at the quality of knitting first, I think, before I let them anywhere near me with the scalpel. But yeah.
But at least they are practicing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just practice on that cloth, not on me, please.
So if you have a certain type of physical activity that you resort to help you focus, mm. you know, whether it's doodling, knitting, or something that we've not discussed here, do send us your thoughts by Twitter at BFM Radio, or you can watch WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
And if you're going to be on Twitter anyway, we've also got a poll running. And the question is, does an actor's socio-political inclinations affect how you would perceive their work? The reason we're asking you this is because we've got a story coming up that we're going to be discussing about. So your choices are, yes, I would. It would affect the way I look at the actor. Or no, I can separate art from the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To join the conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, like Sharik mentioned earlier, WhatsApp us or call us.
Okay. And that will be coming up after a few messages. But first, here's the reason that I am not focusing today, because I have Friday on my mind by the Easy Beats, BFM 89.9.